Welcome to Playing Full Out. I'm your host, Augie Bylot, and this is where we explore success, fulfillment, and the power of purpose. Each episode is dedicated to meeting and learning from people who not only make money, but make a difference. Whether it's lifting others, providing access to services, or whatever their passion happens to be, we are big believers in the concept of enlightened wealth, success that serves others. Now, I've got three primary mantras. The first is play full out. And that's why we named this podcast Playing Full Out, because that's what it's really about. We also believe in what's called the T principle, T-E-A, take effective action. Not just action, but action that actually leads us closer to our goals or brings our goals closer to us. And service and gratitude is more than a platitude. Live a grateful life, you'll be more successful every single day. Now, on these podcasts, you're going to meet some amazing people from all walks of life. And today's special guest is Greg Bond. Greg, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Augie.
Well, a little bit about Greg. You know, he's a successful business owner, a real estate broker, and an experienced, and I mean very experienced, real estate investor. He's very active in the single house market and also self-storage and now assisted living. And he's got real estate holdings in several states and even different countries. Greg has renovated over 250 single-family homes since 2009 in the greater Orlando area. And Greg, his wife, and their two children live in Orlando, Florida. Well, Greg, I'm really glad that you're here with us today. You and I have been friends for a good while, and I know you've got a lot of really good information to share. So maybe we should begin with, when you hear the word success, what does that conjure up in your mind?
Well, success, I think it really brings to mind, how you can help other people. Mm-hmm. And I want to get in a place in my life where I can help a lot of other people. I've financially, you know, my wife and myself have been able to position ourselves over the past 30 years through real estate. Mm-hmm. To a position where we're pretty much financially free. And so it takes on, you know, success takes on a different measure now. And that's, you know, what can we do and how can we help other people gain the same and kind of learn from our mistakes and maybe make their trek to financial freedom a bit easier.
I like that. You know, you already gave a pretty big nugget, whether you realized it or not, but you said over the past 30 years. Now, does it take 30 years to become financially free?
No, I don't think it takes 30 years, but it certainly is. The real estate game is a long-term game. It's not a short-term game. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people initially getting into it view it as a short-term game. And it's, I'm going to make a lot of money real quick, and I'm going to be able to do all these wonderful things. And it really, you know, I think that's a misnomer and something that really needs to be highlighted in any type of education.
Yeah, I
totally environment that this is long-term thinking. This is a long-term strategy.
Right. I totally agree. You know, I like to tell my students it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
Because, you know, I've seen people get into wholesaling or flipping and they produce, you know, ordinary income, pay a lot of taxes, and they seem to be broke more often than they're well-heeled. Whereas the investors that take a long-term view and actually invest and hold properties and hold notes and mortgages and other kinds of financial instruments related to real estate, they're building cash flow and stacking it over time, which eventually leads to that financial freedom people like to think about. What do you think is the biggest factor that's helped you to be successful in your business life?
Well, I think it's surrounding myself with like-minded people. I think it's educating myself. I think it's getting a mentor. I mean, that's really when I started to take off and really take a look and start to analyze things. I mean, I had a basic grasp and understanding of real estate and how it could affect my financial future, but I really didn't totally understand it. And just getting a mentor that understood it, had been down that road before, and could help direct me on my path, I think that was one of the key things that I did.
Okay. And how does faith play into your success path?
Well, I, quite frankly, I don't know how people without any type of faith actually function. I mean, it's got to do with a hope, right? You've got to have something you're striving for and a hope for tomorrow. And somebody without any type of faith at all, it could be a pretty miserable life and world if you don't have any hope. It goes back. I remember some of our neighbors that we were helping out. They're in their 90s. And you can tell when they lost their hope. They had nothing to look forward to. And shortly thereafter, they passed away. Not to say that, a good long life in your 90s, but it really ingrained in my mind that hope is so essential to whatever you do. So, my church life, my wife and I have taught children's church for 25 years at the church where we've been going to. We gave that up about 3 years ago just because of our travel schedules. Mm-hmm. But we so enjoyed working with kids and seeing kids learn. And we taught a curriculum, Augie, maybe you've heard of it, called Walk Through the Bible.
Yeah.
And just a great thing for kids. And our thought was, if you can train them up in the way in which they will go when they're old, they will not depart. And that's kind of the mantra that we lived our lives by.
Gotta love those proverbs. What would you say are your success habits? I'm sure, success is not an accident, and it probably results from repeating some things over and over.
Yeah, it definitely is. I seem to be kind of a bulldog. I find something that works and then I just stick to it. So when we first started investing, we were in our 30s, and I went to a class at our church. Mm-hmm. It was a precursor to Dave Ramsey. It was Crown Ministries. Okay. And it talked a lot of the same thing that Dave Ramsey talks about, living on less than you earn, saving the difference, investing it. But my wife and I, at that point, we had no kids, two incomes, and we had decided to live on my income and save her income for investments. Mm-hmm. But at that point, neither of us had any investment experiences. Our parents weren't wealthy. We hadn't been taught about money. I hadn't learned about money. So through this Crown Ministry course, they said, your best investment is your house. And while I know that not to be true now to a certain level, I also thought, wow, if one house is your best investment, why isn't 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, 50 houses an even better investment? Mm-hmm. So that's what really set me up to buy real estate, is because of that class at Crown Ministries through our church. So we started buying rental properties in our 30s. Mm-hmm. And we acquired between 20 and 30 rental properties. And by 2001, I stopped buying because my map business, as you can see behind me, we had a booming map business, paper-based folding maps and wall maps and street atlases and all sorts of paper-based products, and that kind of went kaboom in 2008, and I jumped into real estate full-time.
Uh-huh. Well, that had to be a pretty big transition, but, when technology comes in and changes things, not everybody gets prepared for it, and you were fortunately, you had an underpinning,
Right. Look,
experience.
It played in that we had so many properties by that point that I was managing myself. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine at that point asked me what I was going to do, and I said, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I need to reinvent myself. All of a sudden, it was the strangest feeling, Augie, to wake up one morning and go, I literally have nothing to do. My business is gone, and what am I going to do today? Now, I was still managing, 25, 30 houses. So I still had things to do there, but I didn't really view that as a full-time job. Right. I viewed that as our retirement income. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to stress that we bought one house or two houses a year for 10 years.
Right.
Right. So, and we financed them all 30-year fixed rate financing. So it was a long-term strategy, and I was going to hold those properties. And I just put my blinders on and said, mm-hmm. That's retirement income. I'm not going to touch those. I'm going to continue to hold those for the full 30 years. And so that's what we endeavored to do.
Okay. So tying that in with your success habits, what then changed? Because
Well,
2009, and you know, in your bio, we talked about from 2009 to today, you've done 250 rehabs, just as an example.
Right. Well, that time, right, that was the downturn. So houses were so unbelievably cheap. So once I jumped back into the market, the real estate market at that point, and saw how cheap properties was, I was just flabbergasted. I was like, I want to buy as many of these as quick as I can. And I was trying to source cash wherever I could. But at that point, I hadn't been to creating wealth yet. My whole world was I either had cash in the bank to buy the property, or I had a bank backing me up to finance the property for me. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about creative financing or subject to, or I mean, that was just all foreign to me. So really coming into creating wealth really opened my eyes and allowed me to broaden my horizons and really expand my portfolio. Now, I remember one of the first things. So you and I had a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I had been reading, and I had gone to, it was really influential was the Real Estate Guys cruise. Mm-hmm. And so I joined that. They recommended a RIA. I joined the RIA, and that's how I met you. And then we had lunch, and you kind of asked me some probing questions and kind of told me about what you were doing. And I thought, I'm not going to pay that amount of money for my education. That's ridiculous. I could buy another, you know, put a down payment on another house with that. And sure. Went home and talked to Jane, and she said, you should join Augie's Creating Wealth. It turned out that she was right, as she always is. That was very influential, and using you as a mentor, Og, has made a world of difference. So
now you did a deal with some duplexes, as I recall, early up in our relationship.
Yeah, I right after I joined Creating Wealth, I had an opportunity to buy 10 duplexes in Winter Park. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I never even would have looked at that opportunity, because I would have thought, I can't finance them. I don't have the cash right now to purchase those. But this particular situation, the woman wanted to provide owner financing. And it's something, it's not a question that I would have ever asked in the past. Mm-hmm. So luckily we were able to purchase those properties. We actually purchased them in our self-directed Roth IRA, which was even better.
Yeah, indeed, that's better.
And so it, again, just the progression. You know, you ask about habits. I mean, I'm an early riser, always have been. Mm-hmm. I'm typically up at between 5 and 5:30. And so I'm reading, I'm, you know, kind of thinking about my day, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. So I put in a lot of time. So I think it's the time and rising early are two characteristics, I think, that have served me well.
Awesome. What mistakes have you made along the way? I know, you know, no, success is not a straight line. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Not a straight line.
How much time do we have, Augie? I could take up the next 12 hours with all the mistakes, but, you know, people try
that kind of stand out that people might learn from. Maybe let's go with those two.
Okay. One of the first mistakes that I made was early on. This was actually shortly after. So we'd in 1988, we bought our first property. That's the year Jane and I were married. And shortly thereafter, so it must have been 1989 or 90, in that time frame, I went to the courthouse steps, and Jane being a foreclosure attorney, I kind of knew that process and knew that, you know, at 11 o'clock every day, they'd come out with these. We would, they would auction them off as the courthouse steps. And I thought, I picked out one and decided I was going to buy it. And I was successful. It was the greatest thing. So I, at that point in time, you would stand in line after the auction and you'd pay $1,000 deposit. And so I paid that $1,000 deposit. I waited my turn, put my $1,000 cash down, and turned around. I was getting ready to leave. And there was an elderly gentleman behind me. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, son, I don't understand why you just did that. And I said, what are you talking about? I got pretty puffed up and I just got a great deal. And he said, did you do a title search? And I looked at him and said, what's that? And he said, wait right there. And he had bought something as well. So he put his $1,000 down and he turned to me and he said, come with me. And he escorted me up to the third floor. And that's where all the microfilm was kept. And he took me through and pulled out the microfilm and showed me how to do a title search and showed me the property that I had just purchased. Mm-hmm. And I had purchased a second position. So I thought I had purchased the property outright or was about to. And as things happened, I stepped into I bought out a second position on that property and there was still a first mortgage. Right. So I turned to him and said, what do I do now? And he said, don't go back. So I didn't have that much cash at that time. So I had 18 credit cards and I was going to take cash advances out on all those credit cards and come back and pay for the property. And then after I owned the property, then I was going to go get a mortgage and pay the property off. Mm-hmm. Or pay the credit cards off with the mortgage that I received. So luckily I was spared that, but I did have to go home to my wife and tell her that I lost $1,000 that day early on in our marriage when $1,000 was a lot of money to us back then.
Sure. Well, you know, people always tell me that, education is just so expensive. My response though is if you think education is expensive, try ignorance.
Right. Gentleman, I just wish he would have tapped me on the shoulder before I put my $1,000 down.
Yeah, well, that's true. But see, that was part of your tuition.
Oh, that's what he said also. He said, you just learned a very valuable lesson that you will not forget, and I never have.
And it only cost you $1,000.
Exactly.
You know, could have cost you 50 or more. So
could have cost me a lot more.
That's for sure. Okay, well, what's the hardest decision you've ever had to make?
Hardest decision? Augie, that's probably shutting down my business. Getting to the point in 2008, our map business dropped 30% at that point, and I was so invested. I'd been in that business for 20 years, mm-hmm. and fully expected to finish my career in that business.
Right.
And so just the thought of closing that down after all the blood, sweat, and tears I'd put into it over the past 20 years and just saying, okay, this is not going to feed the family. This is not something that I can continue on with, and just saying, okay, it's time to pull the plug and let this thing die and be done with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that had to be tough. What would you say has been your greatest learning so far? And the reason I say so far is because I know you're learning all the time.
Yeah, I love to go to seminars. I love learning new stuff. I love the flashy, shiny object. I love learning about them, not necessarily doing them all, but mm-hmm. just so I have a basic understanding. But I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Well, what has been your greatest learning?
Learning, I think, is just looking back now, is I could have propelled myself so much quicker had I hired a mentor, and had I got an education quicker. From 2008-09 timeframe, when the map company went under, until I really joined and started, it was probably 2014. So I really went at it alone. I remember somebody asked me, have you read Rich Dad Poor Dad? And I said, what's that? They asked me about a local RIA and they said, I should be joining a local RIA. And I said, what's a RIA? Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew, right? I had my blinders on and I was buying single family homes and rehabbing them. Mm-hmm. And, my kids were in their teens at that point, and they were on traveling soccer teams. So I was busy chasing them and getting them to and from practice and mm-hmm. getting involved in their lives. And so that, the learning came that, I could have propelled myself a lot quicker had I just involved other people, hired a mentor and started reading and getting a better education in the field of which I had chosen, which is real estate.
Well, it's good that you did find Rich Dad Poor Dad, because that really helps us to start understanding, especially from the Crown Ministries perspective, you know, and Dave Ramsey, their philosophy is all debt is bad debt.
Yeah.
And if you're an entrepreneur, you learn that there are two kinds of debt, good debt and bad debt. And good debt makes you money, bad debt costs you money.
Right.
You know, the smartest entrepreneurs I know are not afraid of compound interest because they want to be earning that compound interest, not paying that. Poor people pay it and don't earn it. And their life is based on payments. You know, and if I can afford the payment, I can afford the product. But, you know, I've met people that pay 18% car loan rates. So they're literally paying 4 and 5 times the value of the car. By the time they own it, it's worth nothing. And they've paid an exorbitant amount for it. Whereas wealthy people, you know, a smart fellow once told me that the uber rich, the super rich, learn to live on the interest on their interest.
I like that.
And while not everybody gets to that point, it's a desirable goal. It's an effective goal because if your investments can produce massive amounts of income, then you can live the life that you desire and can serve others. And it doesn't mean that your interest has to produce mega money or that you even have to make millions. But if you can have enough to have your needs met and then follow your passions, sounds like a good deal to me.
That's why I love seeing and talking to young guys, guys and gals, just because they have so much time for that compounding interest effect to take hold, and they don't realize it. So it's like, how do you impart on them that knowledge that where they are and where they could be in a short period of time if they would just understand that compounding interest? It's truly amazing. So,
and in the scale of an entire life, 20 or 30 years is not that long a period of time.
Goes by very
long. It seems like it's a million years. I remember when I was 20, 30. God, that's like ancient.
That's 100 years ago, Log.
30, huh?
So that's 100 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like it sometimes. But do you have a role model?
I think I've got several role models, Og. I don't know if I particularly have just one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had a pastor when I was growing up. And this particular pastor... he was the pastor of the church that I happened to attend. It was a Baptist church. But this guy would ride around his bicycle and just visit people. Didn't matter if they went to his church or not. Mm-hmm. He knew everybody in town and everybody respected him. And it didn't matter if it was the janitor at the school. It didn't matter if it was the bank president. No matter who he was interacting with and holding a conversation with, he was just a genuine person, and it truly did not matter to him the person's status in life. And I really admire that, and that's something that I endeavor to do myself. Mm-hmm. I think some of the other role models that I've had, some of the sports coaches, the ones that I respected the most were the ones that they would do anything they told us to do, they would do themselves. Mm-hmm. So if they told us to run 5 miles, if they told us to whatever it was, you know, they were there right there with us, doing it with us. And I really like that as well, that they wouldn't tell us to do something that they wouldn't do themselves.
Awesome. What's your favorite way to give back? You know, we like to talk about enlightened wealth, and how is it that you choose to use yours to serve above and beyond your personal needs?
Well, we've started a brokerage called Realty 320. Mm-hmm. A lot of people ask about the name, and it's based on a Bible verse, Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. And we're endeavoring to bring in agents that want to be investors, and we're trying to help them not make some of the mistakes that we made. So we're trying to mentor them through the investment process. As an agent showing homes, they should, over the course of a year, be able to find at least one, if not more, homes that would just make an unbelievable investment property if they just knew what they were looking for. So just teaching them the basics and allowing them to go out and do their job, and by doing their job and at the same time looking for an investment that can change their life, that's one of the ways. As I mentioned earlier, just working with young kids. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes up to me and needs something, and you know, they're in their early 20s, I love helping people at that age. They're just starting to experience life and understand and start looking towards the future. And there's a huge hope there, right? We talked about hope and, yeah, and see their, that whole future. And I, it just gets me excited for them. Jane and I are getting to the point in our lives, Aug, where we've gone down that path. We're getting close to that 30-year finish line where a lot of stuff has paid off. And now we've done well in other areas as well. So it appears that we should have an abundance. So we're hoping to give away a house a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out yet and how we're going to do that. But that's one of our goals in the near future is to do that. In fact, we've given away our first one, and mm-hmm. it's exciting. We love to see the smiles it puts on people's faces when they realize that we're truly giving them a free house.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing thing and a huge gift. And that, I'm sure, will inspire lots and lots of people. If you could start all over, is there anything you would do differently?
Well, I definitely think I would start my financial education a lot quicker. You know, I've tried to educate my children and give them the education that my parents weren't able to give me as far as the financial education. I think Dave Ramsey does a great job of pushing some of that education out there, but there's parts of that education, like you said, about the debt side that I personally don't agree with. I think debt is so cheap right now and interest rates are so low. So if you can get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage on an investment property, I think that just pays huge, huge dividends, and you should buy as many as you possibly can, as quick as you can, as long as you have the structure set up to manage those properties to make sure that they continue that cash flow rolling in and that you have an emergency account. I think that's one thing that we were fortunate in this last downturn, Augie, because we lost 30% of our residents in our investment properties, mm-hmm. in our rentals. And had we not had a substantial emergency fund to help us through that time, we could have been in some serious problems. And I saw a lot of my friends that were in real estate that got themselves into serious problems. They didn't have enough emergency funds. So you just have to be cautious, I think, in how you acquire stuff and make sure that you're not getting too far ahead of yourself.
Right. Prudence and education are two really important things for the real estate investing business. You know, we've all learned that. And you know, like you, I saw lots of people go through the downturn and not come out the same way they went in. But I've also seen others that had good discipline, good fundamentals. And even though they may have had a lower some rents, they lost tons of equity, the equity has been recovered. And the only time you really lose in a down market is if you are forced to sell. So, you know, the smarter investors have recovered. They've stayed well, and they bought in that down market, so they came out of it better than they went into it. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot to be said about discipline. Now, before we wrap up, two questions. One is, what's one change you would recommend people consider to help them get closer to either their definition of success or their goals?
It's two words, and mm-hmm. I think it's going to make a huge difference. So I guess I can share it.
Okay.
All right.
The money shot, folks. So pay attention here.
Are you ready? Two words.
Okay.
Don't stop.
Don't stop.
Don't stop. People get involved in something, Augie, and then they get on to the next thing, and they get on to the next thing, and this doesn't work, and that doesn't work. It takes time to develop any type of process. So don't stop. Start with it and continue to massage it, continue to develop it, and don't stop. Don't let anything stop you.
I think that makes great sense. That tenacity is such a valuable commodity. I talked to a fellow last night, and he was complaining how he got involved in this deal and he did all of this work, and it was the first deal that he was working on, and he went through it and it took months and months and months, and then the deal fell apart and he was totally disgusted because he was involved with family members in this thing. And It all went to hell in a handbasket. And I said, what did you learn during the process? Well, I learned about estimating repairs. I learned about title work. I learned about, you know, financing. I learned about, I don't know, about 22 different things. I said, now you knew none of those. So yeah. How bad was this deal for you? How much money did you lose? Well, I didn't spend any money. Oh, so you got involved in this deal. You did all this work, all this research, all this learning. And how much better are you prepared for the next deal that comes down the pipe? And he said, oh my goodness, you look at it really differently than I do. I said, yeah, you lost nothing and you gained everything.
Right.
So about the perspective. Think about this business from an experiential perspective. Every experience we have is going to teach us something which prepares us better for the next opportunity.
So if we went out and said, I want to make mistakes, because you're going to learn more from your mistakes. I learned more from losing that $1,000 than I learned from the biggest, best deal that I ever did.
Yep.
So I'd say go out and make mistakes, make them quick, try not to make them too severe, but make those mistakes and expect that you are going to make mistakes. You don't know anything. You don't know everything. I'm like I said, we could take up a full 12 hours and I could talk, Augie, about all the mistakes I've made it's just part of the process. So understand that it is part of the process and you're going to grow and learn through that process.
Well, we might do that one day, but not this day.
Okay.
So I guess my last question, you know, you definitely play full out. You've given lots of examples of how you do that. But my last question is there any question that I really should have asked you that I didn't? If there's one thing folks need to know about Greg Bond, or his perspectives on success and fulfillment. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. That's a real good question, Augie, but I don't think there's a whole lot. I think the progression of where most people start in single family homes, mm-hmm. and then they a lot of times will move into something else. They move into notes, they move into multifamily. Emily, they move into something else. Mm-hmm. My transition has been from single family homes. I'm now buying assisted living facility, or we're building an assisted living facility. Right. And I bought several self-storage facilities. So I think it's just a natural progression. It's not something that I planned on. But once I got to a certain level, I looked at where I was and I said, I'm too highly leveraged in single family homes. You know, it's all about, to me at that point, it was all about diversification. Mm-hmm. And so how do I diversify outside of just single family homes? And so I looked and took a lot of seminars and tried to educate myself, and, you know, multifamily and trailer parks. And there was all sorts of other things that I looked at, and I just happened to land on self-storage and assisted living. Mm-hmm. I was specifically looking for things that would do well in a downturn. And those were two things that I found
that, and it's good to have
well in a downturn, and mm-hmm. and especially assisted living in the state of Florida with the population aging and 10,000 people a day turning 65 or older, and 21.6% of those, Augie, saying they want to move to the state of Florida. Yes. And as those baby boomers age, I just see a progression. You know, people are going to just continue to flow into the state of Florida. Well, we got 900 people a day moving in. Mm-hmm. And over 200 of those 900 moving into the state are moving into Central Florida. So just see a tremendous, tremendous opportunities for us going forward.
Awesome. Well, Greg, I thank you so much for spending your very valuable time with us today. And for everyone out there, if they need to find Greg, realty320.com, would that get them to you?
Realty320.com. Also, Augie, on my logo here, it's the Property Manager Guys. That's our property management company. Mm-hmm. So as all those properties that I rehabbed, I manage properties for all the investors as well.
Excellent. So whether it's Realty 320, if you're an agent out there looking for a brokerage, you want to take your business to a totally different level, you might want to check that out. And also if you are a property owner or would like to become one, Property Management Guys. So Greg is an entrepreneur, plays full out. And that's what I want to encourage you to do every single day. Play full out. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Augie.